Because there'll be a pride element at stake because they both really respect each other. Who the fuck is drilling such?
Leak in the toilets.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, Patreons. Happy Friday. Oh, what a night, James.
Watching West Ham on a Thursday night.
Well, yeah, it was crazy last night.
Congratulations.
For so many reasons. Not because, I'm not talking just about West Ham. So obviously we went through, where's my laptop? Oh, here we go. On a very nervy night and 89th minute goal. Kind of makes it comfortable when you see that and you're like, all right, fine, we've gone through. Sheffield Wednesday, 4-0 goes to 4-0 the other way, and then penalties and that, and they go through. They're now flicked over Fiorentina to see who we're playing in the final, and it's the last minute of 10 minutes added on of extra time. Like, how the fuck is there 10 minutes added on additionally?
There was a stadium emergency or something.
Oh, was there?
Yeah.
I only flicked it on when that happened. I'm like, why is this game still going on? Like, go to penalties. And they score a late fucking goal to go through. It just felt like it was one of those nights of football where everything was lastminute.com drama.
Yeah.
Madness.
Including...
Callum Wilson. Yes, for a field point.
Including
well.
The season over. You know, I love people say that. People say, oh, season over, Callum Wilson's killed me. I'm thinking, yeah, that was about 35 game weeks ago for me, mate. So
Mad. But yeah, it was a bonkers night, mate, across all of the games. And obviously, yeah, my priority was West Ham, which was fantastic that we went through. Fantastic.
Congratulations.
Fucking nervous as hell. You could tell the team were nervous as hell as well.
It was pretty... Was it a shite game?
In terms of quality, we our game plan was pick them off on the counter. Simple as that. Pick them off on the counter, soak it up a little bit. They didn't create a lot of good quality chances.
No, it didn't seem that way.
And then when we countered, we kept fucking it up. Like, final ball wasn't good, or we just kept losing it or whatever. So there was a clear strategy to it, but neither team were able to execute particularly well. We could have made ourselves a lot more comfortable by just getting even the one goal. There was a period from like 55 minutes to maybe 75, 80 where I'm like, this is going to come back to bite us. Once we got to 80 minutes after that, I felt a little bit comfortable. Obviously there was the handball incident,
I haven't seen it.
Thing is, the ref had blown up. Ariola goes up to catch it. Their player is backing in. And it's one of those where the ref always goes with the...
Was that right near the end?
No, it's about 75, 80 minutes.
Oh, okay. There was one right near the end where he came through someone. There was no way that was a penalty.
Yeah. And is it the handball on Zuma, though, after?
No, I've not
seen that. So what happened is he went to get the ball. He was fouled. He dropped the ball. But as he dropped it, it hit Zuma on the arm. But it's like, well, if he's been fouled, there's no way you can give Zuma's handball because it's as a result of the foul.
So what did
the handball
give?
No, it was just a free kick to us.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was edgy, but in the end, when 4 hours went through, I didn't think he was going to score.
Did you not?
No.
Have you seen Danny Ings' reaction?
The distance from goal he was, I was like, he's going to fuck it up.
Have you seen Danny Ings' reaction? Nah. Oh, you need to find it.
Okay.
His angle from behind the goal, Danny Ings stops, puts his two arms in the air, starts celebrating long before he's even taken the shot.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay.
He's just like, this is it.
I knew he was through. I was like, don't fuck this up. Yeah. Overall, it was good. Now, we've got Fiorentina in the final. Tough game is going to be. They peppered Basel for most of that game, from what I could see.
Sounds like it.
So, yeah, but you kind of want the challenge, right? I think if it was Basel, we'd be very clear favourites, and then complacency might be able to kick in. I think it's Fiorentina. If we play to our best of our ability, we give anyone a game on their day. So now, here we go. Yeah, so that was it. 7th of June, a reminder to the patrons, North London, Barnet, will be showing it on the big screen. I've had a couple of people say they want to join. You're welcome to, I hate what watching games like that in public.
Reminder to the patrons as well, check last night's post about three days later on the 10th.
Which is the Champions League, which we'll be having a little soiree for.
If enough people want to come, otherwise we're just going down a pub.
Yeah, exactly that. So it just helps us, look, if you say you're going to come and you can't make it because something happens, cool. But it does help us to know how many people can and can't make it to that so that we can put some planning around that as well. Owls, playoff final now. Sheffield Wednesday.
I mean, that was incredible last night. So I was watching Newcastle Brighton and was aware of what was happening at Sheffield Wednesday. So Newcastle got the half-time. I put Sheffield Wednesday on during half-time. Got quite engrossed in it. Forgot that Newcastle Brighton was happening, actually, unbelievably. Partly because Brighton didn't turn up last night, which we'll speak about in a sec. But then, yeah, it was 2-0 for a long time. It was only near the end of Newcastle. It obviously went 3-0 Sheffield Wednesday. It's like, right, get this on. But Harry was still up and the wife was out last night. So instead, what I did, I thought, do you know what? Let me watch the end of West Ham. So I took him to bed, sat with him, put West Ham on my phone. And as far as I know, he was just like laying down watching it with me. And then I was like, oh, look, a goal. And he was gone.
Oh,
he was
lovely. Out.
So I was like, I was off.
Yeah,
I was
yeah.
like, right, West Ham have on. Let me get Sheffield Wednesday and Peterborough back on. And then I watched all of extra time with that and stuff. Wife came home and, oh, no, penalties, stressful. Why are they still playing football now? Thought we'd be finished by now, all that shit. Yeah, that's an amazing achievement for Sheffield Wednesday. Peterborough, absolutely question 21 of the bottle job quiz.
Yeah.
4-0 down and go out, unbelievable. Newcastle Brighton game, briefly.
Yes.
And Newcastle thoroughly deserving winners. And a lot of hot takes from last night of, what does it tell us about Brighton and next year? And I think Newcastle fans shouldn't take this the wrong way. Brighton playing Newcastle is more like playing Everton than playing Arsenal. And it's more about off-the-ball stuff. This is where Brighton are going to find challenges ongoing, right? Because the way to play Brighton is not the way Arsenal did it. There's two ways of doing it. You either do it like Newcastle and you go heavy in their face, or you do it like Everton and you go real low block and you bring it on. I don't want to make any excuses for Brighton last night, but the biggest problem, and yes, they left a few players out. As soon as you saw the team, you went, they're more interested in making sure they get the 3 points against Southampton and confirming some form of European qualification rather than believing that top four was still on, which was quite unrealistic. So, like, no McAllister in the team, Caicedo playing right back again, no Evan Ferguson, no Insiso. It was like, this isn't their best team. But the biggest miss for them last night was Levi Colwill. Because Jan-Paul van Hek at centre-back, his distribution just was not good enough. It was not up to the required level. And you think about the way that they want to play, and if they're not getting it right in build-up from the start, you're fucked.
Yep.
Because it's all about structural, positional play and technical out from the back, etc. Newcastle's press, you know what they're like. When they get in your face, they are the best at it.
They went how many up against you and how many up against
them.
Us, mate?
Honestly, it wasn't until about half hour in the game you were like, it's like, this is as bad as I've seen Brighton. Almost worse than the Everton game. Everton had just got exposed with the same problems, right, on the counter-attack. But in terms of ball possession, that was the worst I'd seen them under De Zerbi. But primarily because of really good play from Newcastle in terms of being brave off the ball, and Brighton's distribution just wasn't good enough. There were certain things like Almiron gave a stupid hand a run around in the first half. There were impact things. The crowd was up. I think the selection impacted Brighton. So the things are going to have to get used to next year, right? Teams treating them serious is what I say. If you don't treat them serious, you're going to get done. And people looking at it and going, how does it explain that Brighton go to Arsenal and dominate but then lose? When you look at the score lines, right?
Different
you lose,
teams.
You
yeah.
lose 4-1 to Newcastle, you lose 5-1 to Everton. It looks bad, right? So like,
two of those goals were in the last few.
Let
weeks,
me be yeah. very clear. If Brighton are sick of De Zerbi, then, you know, my door is still absolutely open, of course.
How did your FPL week finish?
Yeah, like, disastrously, obviously, because I don't own Callum Wilson. I mean, that was, those last couple of minutes was, for non-Wilson owners, was the biggest kick in the teeth, arguably, of the season, I think. Mm. The way it went, because neither Wilson or Isak particularly looked like they were going to be involved in terms of the attacking returns. Wilson had one kind of half effort in the second half that was well wide. He did knock down a chance for Burn in the first half. Isak had a header that was well saved by Steele. Neither of them looked like they were going to haul anyway.
Fuck me, I'm fifth in the correspondence.
And
league,
then,
mate.
I mean, that's madness. What's your overall now?
I only went up 1,070k. But it's 70K. Still a positive. But this is it, James. Look, I'm just looking through my season.
I've got
history.
Hammered. I've gone down to 263 from like 190 at the start of the week, mate. Absolutely destroyed.
This season, I've been in the 100 club four times. Yesterday was 100 club and nearly fucking, no, three, one, two, three. Yeah, four times I've been in the 100 club this season. 90, and that's not including a 99, a 96, an 89, an 82, an 85 and an 80s. In the 80s, five, six times as well. And I'm only 70K. Like, I feel like I scored a fuck ton of points this year. 2425 points. So that is started recording the podcast in 2017-18. So that's more than four seasons. 2148, 2116, 2251, 2266. I'm on 242 something with 2 weeks to go, one of which is a double game week. Last year was 2495, James. So I'm only 70 points off last year with 2 weeks to go, one of them being a double game week. And I'm sure I'm going to get another 100 this double game week. Stacked with double game week players and good ones as well.
Yeah.
Haaland. So I'm going to smash my last year's total.
I mean, that's the main reason why it's up massively is...
Haaland.
If you think back to last year, it was kind of perma-captain Salah for a long time.
Yeah.
And he was obviously doing well for people. Then it calmed down a lot in the second half of the season. So it kind of tailed off a bit. Whereas with Haaland, it's been consistent as also when he's missed out, he's largely just missed out. So you've had other captains in those weeks, for example, like double game week 29 as an example. So it doesn't surprise me that averages, I mean, if you take me, I finished 82K last year, 2,518 at the end. You're going to be in the level of like, 2,600, I guess.
Yeah,
roughly,
maybe.
Probably.
I'd like to, if 2,600 would be decent.
And, you know, that's probably what you finish
on. It might
on.
Be 50K.
If you finish on that, what's that? About another 60 a week, is it? What,
yeah.
I mean, if you get to that 2,600 in the 1SD, you're probably going to finish about 60K or so,
yes,
I guess. So, yeah, it's relative and stuff rather than comparing points. I mean, my best ever season, Serge, 21K, 2,268 points.
Wow.
But it's back to 16, 17, less players and stuff as well, right?
Yeah, for sure. Okay, we're giving these guys a full podcast, mate. They're only getting the differential show. Come on, patrons. Let's do these predictions and let's fire through them so we can get through all the other stuff we've got to do as well. Spurs, Brentford's the early kickoff tomorrow, right?
Go on then, boss.
Well, obviously, influenced by Sir Ivan Toney, £80 million man, missing 8 months,
would
10
have,
million
would
a month.
Been injured anyway, according to Thomas Frank this morning.
Oh, fair play. So as a result of that, I'm going 2-1 Brentford. If Tony had been playing, I'd go about 6-1. 2-1 Brentford.
Listen, you lot, Suji's lip proper fucking quivered when he looked at me
Brentford.
And said that. He was like,
I think they'll beat you.
2-1 Brentford.
2-1 Brentford. They will win. I don't see how, why you wouldn't. But they're so annoying, and I think you'll just get wound up too easy as well.
2-1 Tottenham.
You think so?
Yeah, we'll win tomorrow.
Okay, Bournemouth, Man United. Again, it's going to be a difficult game for Man United, being that it's away. I don't think it's going to be an easy game, but I am going to back them to win 2-0.
I have 1-0.
Yeah, tight. Fulham, Crystal Palace. Both teams on the beach, but also both teams not on the beach in any way, shape or form. So free-flowing, going for it. Desmond Tutu.
I've gone 2-1 Fulham.
Okay. Any particular reason? Just home advantage?
Home advantage, to be honest, yeah. Simple, straightforward as that.
Liverpool-Villa. Being that it's at Anfield, I'm giving it to Liverpool 2-1. But again, I can't see him battering Villa. The only thing is, like what you talked about last week about this crazy high line. the likes of Salah and Luis Diaz running in behind could be fucking brutal.
What you're thinking, seriousness?
Who's going to feed the balls through?
Trent.
Yeah, that's actually true.
That's the difference.
But they're screwed.
That's the difference.
2-1 Liverpool, but yeah, tight game.
I want to have a chat about England soon as well.
Okay.
And if we can play this way.
Yeah. Even AZ Alkmaar had their right back tucking in.
Doing the same, yeah.
Yeah. Mad.
Yeah, it's on trend, isn't it? Yeah, I've got the same. 2-1 Liverpool. Listen, it goes both ways. Villa should be praised for what they're doing, right? They're catching teams off offside regularly. Since Emery took over, I think 90 times. It's about 20 more than any other team, for example, right? And it's working for them. You only have to look at the results. But I think it's teams are now very aware of it. There's also, they've played teams like Manchester United and Tottenham recently and not changed. So they're still doing it. So there's no reason to think they'll go to Liverpool and go, we're going to go low block and stuff. They'll go aggressive. And I think they'll try and win the game, by the way. And they are capable of doing so. I don't think that Newcastle result last night certainly doesn't help Liverpool in terms of their prospects for top four. They know themselves that they have to win the two games, I think, to have any chance at all. But yeah, the difference is, oh, you've got Højbjerg or Skip playing these balls through, or Clem and Longley coming out, or you've got Trent doing it. The fuck? So the absolute key for Villa in the game is got to shut Trent down. Give him time and space, like give some of our players the time and space to pick the pass. It's not just Salah, is it, right? It's over the other side for
Diaz.
Exactly, right? So 2-1 Liverpool for me.
Wolves, Everton. I'm going to go back Everton here. Away win, James. 2-1 to Everton. They need it.
Based on need, I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, they need it. But I think they can pull it out of the bag. And they'll have a little bit of confidence from the 5-1 against Brighton, if I'm honest with you, that they can score goals. Doucouré playing in that role again behind Calvert-Lewin. I'm going to back them 2-1 to get the job done.
I'm going to go draw 1-1. I think we have to be conscious of Wolves' home record is strong. They don't concede many goals at home. Feels like a coin flip. It feels like if Everton win, they're done. I think it will feel like. But I also am conscious that although they won't want it to go to the final day, if Everton are ahead with Bournemouth at home final day and the atmosphere at Goodison, they'll fancy their chances. So I'm going to go 1-1.
Forest, Arsenal, I have an away win 3-0.
I've got the same, to be honest. I just think way too much in terms of quality. Forest will go very low block and be looking for anything from the game. There is definitely scope for Forest, I think, particularly down Arsenal's left-hand side to challenge that over the top on the break. But I just think Arsenal got too much quality and pressure's off. And I think their quality will come through. To be honest, I've got the same 3-0 Arsenal.
West Ham Leeds. Again, I've got another Desmond, James, 2-2.
Is that because your lot will still be pissed?
Yeah. The whole place is going to be bouncing on Sunday.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's not.
You don't think so?
No.
Why?
Because it's the fucking come down afterwards, mate.
Yeah, but I think everyone's going to celebrate the fact that we've made it to a final.
The crowd.
I don't think anyone gives a shit about the football.
That's the point. No one gives a shit about the football.
That's why the football's going to be a bit car crashy 2-2. But I think the atmosphere is going to be bouncing. Everyone's just going to be having fun. It's 1:30 kickoff. People will be on the booze from 11 in the morning, probably.
Yeah, fancy Leeds to get signed as well, to be honest. 1-1.
Brighton, Southampton. I think this is going to be a 4-0 Brighton. I think it's going to be a bounce back. Kick back.
On a blinding stat.
Yes.
Which I gave to some of the guys who were having a correspondent chat. Gary Mannett was saying to Matt Samuel, oh, at least you beat us twice this year. Like, oh, shit away. And Aaron Lagle was the one who put the message in before, and it reminded me that Southampton taking 12 points against Chelsea and Leicester this year. They're taking 12 points against the other 17 teams.
Oh, wow.
So, make of that what you will. I've gone a more respectable 3-0 surprise.
Okay, fair play.
Surge.
That's the scoreline I give a Man City to beat Chelsea 3-0.
I've done the same.
We know what's happening there. Newcastle Leicester on Monday night. Copy-paste yesterday. I'm not backing a 4-1, but I'm backing a 3-1.
Okay, this is boring.
Same again.
Yeah. I've got 3-1. To be honest, always
I'm not sure where this Leicester goal is coming from. That's the only thing.
A Newcastle mistake.
Okay.
Probably like last night.
Yeah. But yeah, they're going to win that comfortably.
3-1.
And lock down top four. A Brighton Man City on the following Wednesday, I've got down as a 1-1. I don't think it's... I think rotation, Man City would have won the league by then.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, I think it will just be one of those that's just kind of played out. Both sides will happily take a draw 1-1.
I think it might even be that by the time, if both teams win on Sunday, it might be a completely nothing game.
Yeah, because if Brighton win and you lose, they're 4 points ahead of you.
Yeah, I mean, they obviously cannot finish top four now. It's like impossible.
No, you wouldn't be able to catch them. And they can't catch Liverpool.
Well, if either us or Villa lose and Brighton win on Sunday, they're assured of at least European football, the minimum. Their goal difference is obviously way better as well, right, going into the final day. And I suspect that's probably the scenario we'll end up in, that, yeah, sure, for Brighton it'll be kind of Europa or Conference League. And I imagine on this night they'll probably clinch Europa League, because I'd back them to win 2-1. But it's nearly impossible to predict that game, A, on selection, B, how much the two managers are going to want to give away to each other. Because there'll be a pride element at stake, because they both really respect each other. Who the fuck is drilling, Suj?
Leak in the toilets.
Fucking block it. So it's almost impossible to predict how it will go and stuff. I suspect City's rotation on Wednesday will be far heavier than Brighton's. And I'd give them the edge. I think of, I did a piece for The Advance this morning, kind of still talking up Mitoma's chances this week. So I think there's every chance he'll play against Rico Lewis on Wednesday, for example. So I'm going to give Brighton the edge, actually, to beat City 2-1 on Wednesday.
Nice.
In a game that's impossible to predict.
United-Chelsea, I've got 2-0 United.
I've got the same.
Cool.
Which brings us on to what we're doing this week. And there's a couple of things to pull out of that instantly. We both predicted 2 clean sheets for Manchester United.
Correct.
Are we overlooking Luke Shaw as a captaincy option this week?
I'm not going anywhere other than Erling Haaland.
Why? You think he plays twice?
No, but I think he could do so much damage in the one game against Chelsea.
Unfortunately, that's my take as well. My take is that I think the damage that Haaland could do to Chelsea could be bigger than what Rashford or Fernandes do in 2 Manchester United games. And I think, unfortunately, considering Brighton's selection last night, I think there's enough scope to suggest that Mitoma might not play against Southampton. And I couldn't have the faith, I think, to be sticking it on a McAllister or a Ferguson or a Welbeck at the moment. And that's why I asked this question about Luke Shaw, because I've been thinking about it more and more this week, that I really fancy the double clean sheet for United as a possibility. Now, that double clean sheet could be 12 points, shit, flat. Could even be less, right, if he picks up a booking somewhere, 6 and a 5. Although Luke Shaw's someone who's liable to be in the bonus on clean sheets. And again, just coming to the conclusion that Haaland probably gets more than that against Chelsea.
Yeah.
Any other City players? What about Alvarez?
I don't own, and I'd have to do all sorts of jewelry pokery to get, so no.
Did you see the Thierry Henry comments about De Bruyne after the game, about considering what he's been through? That was a great performance and stuff, which led people to ask, A, was he carrying an injury, or B, has something happened in his personal life where he's liable to get a break? I just wonder if there's something where they make a decision to leave him out of Sunday, if Alvarez covers De Bruyne, as in not cover FPL, was in play, plays instead of De Bruyne on Sunday and plays instead of Haaland on Wednesday. I wonder if that's possible. And therefore, I think he's probably the second best choice for City. I note as well, Mahrez, if you look at Premier League minutes, there's a lot lately, a lot. That also feels a punty one to go for as well. But I feel like with Mahrez particularly, it could be under 80 minutes, it could be 20 minutes.
Yeah.
That's how it feels. So what are you planning transfer-wise, boss?
Well, at the moment, I'm lined up with quite a lot of doublers. So Steele, my back four is Shaw, Trent, Lindelof, Stones. The 3 doublers there. McAllister, Rashford, Mitoma, Salah, Grealish across the middle. So other than Salah, all doublers, and Haaland captain up top. My bench is Iverson, Wilson, Isak, Trippier. I'm not planning on anything at the moment.
What order?
Wilson, Isak, Trippier.
Yeah, that's the right order, I think.
So if I was to try and get Alvarez in, like if I'm not going to use Wilson or Isak, say Isak I've had enough of for the rest of the season, and I want to get Alvarez in, then I have to get rid of Stones or Grealish. So I could downgrade Stones, but then I'm taking a hit. I don't know if it's worth it. I just don't think it's worth it. So I'm going to roll as it is, have two frees going into the final week, and then just maybe get a bit punty in the final game week.
Okay.
Unless we get news.
So you might roll even?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the only way I can do anything to improve my team is by taking a hit, making two transfers, and I don't want to take a hit for no reason.
Okay, fine. I don't hate that. I'll certainly be doing something. In fact, I'll certainly be making two transfers. I've got two free transfers. I have Watkins, Botman, Henry as cover on the bench. I have three Brighton in place, still McAllister, Mitoma. That's not as much as I'd like to punt a Ferguson or Enciso this week. I'm not doing that. I have two Manchester City and Grealish, Haaland. I don't think that Grealish will play at Brighton, but I also don't feel like that's worth moving that to someone else, and it might be exactly the same scenario. And I think he starts the better fixture, the first one. I have two Manchester United in place, Marcus Rashford and Luke Shaw. The original intention weeks ago would have been to get to this point and sell Mo Salah for Kevin De Bruyne or Bruno Fernandes. I think Kevin De Bruyne is off the table. Doesn't mean people like Riyad Mahrez aren't, for example. But this Bruno Fernandes move, it doesn't make logical sense to take anyone else out bar Mo Salah, and I don't really want to take him out with a home fixture. And I want this double defence now, I think. I'm really talking myself into it. So the player I'm most likely to buy this week is Victor Lindelof. And now, whether that's for Botman, Henry or Trippier, I haven't really decided yet. There is a small doubt about Kieran Trippier for Monday. Certainly Joe Willett picked up a problem last night. His season's almost definitely over. Joe Linton and Trippier are also doubts going into that game Monday as well. I suspect Trips will probably play, but then covers there on the bench. I mentioned more concerns about game week 38 previously. I didn't want to be left in a position where if I go to United and they don't play, then I'm leaving myself in a position where I might have Rico Henry coming off the bench against Man City. Feels fucking shite. And City, I'm sure, will go strong in that game against Brentford. So that's the concern about going double United. Could Lindelof and Shaw both get a break against Bournemouth? I think probably not both, maybe one. But I think the idea would be Henry to Lindelof. Now, the other defensive change I'd been considering, which I could do, is throw John Stones in as well. You have the exact money to just about make that work, actually.
You should do it, because the closer, the more similar your team gets to mine, the better.
Have you got John Stones as well, have you? Yeah, I don't have enough for Diaz. But I could do that, and then I can still leave in like Trippier, Trent... Sure, but it would probably be super aggressively good for the final day. That was the plan that I was going with. I'm leaning into getting Alvarez now. And it's not even a guarantee that it's Watkins to go. I might even just fucking cut Isak off, to be honest.
You got to ask yourself, are you going to play him next week in the final game week? Do you bother about playing him in the final game
week? Well, the thing is, if I go Alvarez and Lindelof, I ain't playing Isak this week. I'll have three City, three United, three Brighton. I ain't picking Isak over Salah or Trent.
Yeah. So then get rid. Then you can be ruthless at this time.
Then the final day, Isak goes to Chelsea, Watkins got Brighton at home.
Yeah.
And I think Villa are clever with the way they play and stuff. Is there more for Watkins in that rather than Isak at Chelsea? It's a tough one, right? Really tough one, because Chelsea, they're fucking done, aren't they, for this season anyway. So I haven't decided yet. But yeah, I'm getting closer and closer, I think, to going Alvarez and sticking him in. And it might be I end up with Trippier and Isak sitting on the bench.
Same as me, yeah.
I potentially know what's coming with that. Could be Botman for me as my other one, so it could be a blanket Newcastle free
exactly,
sitting on the bench, possibly.
Yeah.
It's definitely going to be Lindelof, and then it's going to be Stones or Alvarez. I haven't quite decided, but I I think I'm talking myself into the Alvarez move, to be honest.
Nice. Dead teams. Do you want to wrap up what's happened with all of the dead teams? We're getting very close towards the end of the season now with them.
Aye, 60 points for us. It's been carried very much by Liverpool players now, ironically. 46 points from Salah, Trent and Alisson. We've now got Wilfried Zaha fucked as well. But we do at least have Alexander Mitrovic back, Suj. Joe Harris has a 22 lead going into the final 2 weeks of the season ahead of Roar Justard. Joe has Kane captain. Roar has Salah captain. I don't think that's over just yet. Highest score of the week went to James Morrison. 88 points. Returns for Edison, Trent, Robertson, captain Mo Salah. And Callum Wilson is, of course, sitting there with his 24-pointer. Lowest score of the week goes to our friend Andreas Nick. 32 points. Returns nice at the back for Van Dijk, Dunk, Diaz, and a 5-pointer from Alexander Mitrovic. The differential dream, Surge, is over. 51 points for us this week. Russell got 62, extending another 11 over us, making that gap now 42 points. I wouldn't deem that impossible if we were second. We are down to fifth, Surge. Couple of really good scores this week. Luther's dropped to fourth. Got 53. Bonnie Ken's got 72. And Cole JB, 92. So Cole's gone up to second, only 7 points behind Russell. And he was as low as sort of fifth or sixth a few weeks ago. Our 51 points came from captain Alexander Isak, Lewis Dunk clean sheet, Andrew Robertson clean sheet, Bruno Fernandes 6-pointer. That was your luck. That was our lot, even. The highest score of the week, one person in the 100 club. Rola Jarvis, 104 points. Steele 7, Robertson 6, Dunk 6, Foden 6, Burn 9, McAllister 3, Joe Linton 4, Fernandes 6, Grealish 1, Martial 8. You know what's coming here. Captain Callum Wilson for 48 points. No hit on that. One free transfer used. And that was on Joe Linton, actually. Wooden Spoon, lowest score with a transfer made. Denise Parker, who's the other Wolves correspondent, 43 points, returns for De Gea, Dunk, and Isak captain. That was it. We are bust, Suj, this week with an 11 of Kepa Arrizabalaga in goal.
Double.
Is it, though?
Well.
So, Gary said on COTC yesterday he thinks Mendy will play again at City. But then he thinks Kepa will play against United.
Whatever and it is, I don't think it's worth taking.
He's also said, does it fucking matter? I mean, Gary thinks whoever plays in goal for Chelsea on Sunday will score minus one. So, back four of, this is bust team, Lewis Dunk, Ruben Diaz, Sven Botman, Andrew Robertson. Midfield, Bruno Fernandes, Alexis McAllister, Jack Grealish, Heung-min Son. Up front, Isak and Martial. Diogo Jota, cover on the bench. We do have cover for Kepa in Neto, the Bournemouth goalkeeper. We've got Willock and Chilwell. Willock is a certainty out Monday night, did his hamstring last night. Ben Chilwell, Frank Lampard was saying he hoped he'd be back for the second game of this double. Can't see him playing against City on Sunday.
Why are we playing Jota over Botman?
Why aren't we?
Why are we?
Well, I don't think it's going to matter once we make some transfers, Suj.
Okay.
My take would be that I'm not sure Jota starts.
I
know what you're saying.
I don't know if they'll keep a clean sheet.
Punt it anyway.
Yeah.
Agree, but this isn't going to matter once we do sign it here anyway.
Go on then.
So we've got a million in the bank. One free transfer. We've got in place two Manchester United players, Fernandes and Martial. We've got two Manchester City players, Diaz and Grealish. We've got two Brighton. You can't tell me we're not doing something here, Suj.
Who do you want to get rid of and who do you want to get in? I don't even know who we can get in based on ownership.
Okay, let me run this by you as a minus eight suggestion.
We're going big.
Ben Chilwell to Victor Lindelof.
Okay.
Joe Willock to Riyad Mahrez.
Yep.
Diogo Jota to a Brighton forward.
And Siso?
Or Ferguson. A slight preference for Ferguson, to be honest.
I had a preference for Siso, but okay.
How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think we got. There's no point in coming third or fourth or fifth in this league. Let's go for it.
I'm of that opinion as well.
Let's go for it. The only other question I had was Alvarez. I don't know if he's... I'd take him over the Brighton forward, but we can't afford it, or his ownership?
So, I mean, the other way of doing that is go minus four, go Alvarez. There isn't a
Alvarez Brighton, and Lindelof.
There isn't a Brighton midfielder I'd want instead. This is the point.
Yeah. I mean, Mahrez could easily outscore Alvarez and get more minutes as well. Let's go all three. Let's go Lindelof, Mahrez, and if you want to go Ferguson, fine. I would have a preference for Enciso, but...
I mean, you seem to be having picks better than me at the moment, mate.
It's because you keep wanting to pick Heung-min Son.
Phil Foden, worth consideration. Ilkay Gundogan?
Nah, I'd go Mahrez over those guys, for sure.
Do you think?
Yeah, I'd go Mahrez over those.
I feel like Gundogan is probably the most likely to play twice.
He's had his little run now. It was a bit point chasing.
Is it? Do you remember we had that conversation a few years ago and then a couple of weeks later we went, better get that prick.
Yeah. Carried on for a little longer. I'm not sure. He's also leaving at the end of the season, so they'll give him minutes, I think, maybe to say goodbye or what, or what, last home game against Chelsea. Maybe.
I mean, picking the City team next Wednesday is
a nightmare.
It's not even a nightmare. It's fucking impossible. There's not a single player there I could tell you will play twice. Double for City.
Now, I like Mahrez and Lindelof. I'm not sure about Enciso over Ferguson or Ferguson over Enciso, but if you want to go Ferguson, let's do it.
Now, thing is, if we go that way, who do we leave out? So, Botman's a definite one to come out, as kind of discussed.
Son.
But we'd still have Robertson, Son and Isak. Start one.
I'd start Isak.
Bench Sonny.
Yep.
Okay, so then I'm at the point of thinking it's gone too far.
Why? He's rubbish. What points has he got recently?
No, he don't
has he even got 100 points this season?
Yeah, hey, he'd be talking about it. Isn't that 150 or something? 145.
He got all of them in one game against Leicester.
Yeah, but if... All right, let's look at this a different way then. So his last four home games for Tottenham, 8, 7, 9... And
three against Palace.
No, 8, 9, 7, and 9.
Home games?
Oh, I missed Palace. I just decided to ignore it. Okay, but there's decent returns in the four before that.
Yeah.
He's more of a home player, isn't he?
I don't know what he is anymore, to be honest with you.
He's getting into Doublers. He's getting into more threatening positions is where I'd put him at.
No one's giving him the ball.
No one's giving him the ball in time.
Go with the doublers.
Really, bench Son. Benching Son and taking a hit. I don't know if that's right. That's my point here.
They could go off. I like the doublers, mate. Chase it. Son's not gonna go off against Brentford. He's not going to go off against Brentford. He might get a
fucking
goal,
depressing. Listen, I don't feel like Isak's going to go off playing where he played the last two games.
Yeah, but they're going to win 3-1. Who do I trust? Newcastle against Leicester or you lot against Brentford? Newcastle against Leicester. Every day of the week, mate. That'll cement their Champions League football next season.
Yes, I don't disagree with that.
I don't see it. I don't have this love for Sonny this season that you have. I don't watch your team, though.
Neither do I, but there's things in the last few weeks, excuse me, which has opened it back up for him. I certainly wouldn't recommend anyone buys him. I don't know if I want to bench him, though, mate, or take a hit to have someone else play in his place. So a hit to get Mahrez in, play him over Son, probably only plays one game as well. So is it just not bother with City?
Nah, I think Mahrez... I don't know. I just don't. We're in a disagreement here on what to do. I suppose we've got to just make it a call.
All right. I want to go Ferguson rather than Enciso.
All right. Fine. So play
Isak.
Play Isak.
Yeah, so fucking grim. Okay. Fine. You can have that one.
Let's see.
All right.
Minus 56 is.
I got 86 points. I didn't look at who had the best score of the week. I better do that. Right, tell me how you got on.
128 points, mainly because of Captain Callum Wilson. Everybody returned apart from Thiago Silva, who got a zero-pointer. Thank you very much. Steele, 7. Estupiñan, 17. Trippier, 11. Luke Shaw, 8. Salah, 12. Foden, 6. Mahrez, 6. Pascal Gross, 6. Callum Wilson, 48. Isak, 7. I had Eze and Anderson on the bench with another 22 points there as well. So decent this week. 128.
There's some monster scores in here. I think I've found the biggest in the minus 56 league. Harry Clayton, 137. Minus 56. Look at this. Pope, 10. Me, 11. Trippier, 11. Trent, 13. Pascal Gross. You cheeky fucker, 6. Gundogan, 19. Salah, 12. Callum Wilson, captain, 48. He's also got 24 points on the bench, which includes Ebe Eze as well on that. The lowest score of the week is going to be, I think... No, it's not you, because you didn't take minus 56. Right, you're getting removed from the league. Not that it matters at this stage. I think it is... Birthday boy... Clayton.
Is it?
I think so. 64.
Ouch.
Returns for Steele, Trippier, Trent, and Captain Isak, as you are. Right. What did I say I scored, Serge? Nowhere near yours. 86 for me. Yeah. Ben Mee, 11. Trippier, 11. Salah, 12. Wilson, 24. Captain Isak, 14. You've done really well over this last few weeks.
Yeah, it's been pretty decent, and I can't say it's just luck, isn't it, really?
Okay, fine. Do yourself out of a turn. Nyla Duckworth still holds a 38-point lead over Paul Meehan. It's Chris Duckworth, isn't it, and Paul Meehan. Might as well do this properly. 38 points of difference. Can be made up with this one double to come, I think. I think below that it's probably going to be too far. Who have you picked this week, Suj?
I have... a couple of risky ones in here, actually, to be fair. I've gone a bit rogue. David De Gea, Victor Lindelof, Lewis Dunk, Wesley Fofana.
What?
I don't know. He's not played the last couple. I'm just going with a doubler.
It's good. It's good job Gary's not paying for this anymore, because he'd have stopped.
Raheem Sterling, Karu Mitoma, Kevin De Bruyne, Anthony... Julian Alvarez, Erling Haaland, and then Ciso. Captains on Haaland, vices on Alvarez. My bench is Fraser Forster, Vladimir Soufal, Burn, and Almiron. Almiron, Soufal, Burn in that order, sorry.
Okay, boss, good luck. 3-4-3 for me. Jason Steele in goal. Back three of Ruben Diaz, Luke Shaw and Gabriel. Midfield four of Marcus Rashford, Bruno Fernandes, Ilkay Gundogan and Bukayo Saka up front. Julio Enciso, Evan Ferguson and captain Erling Haaland on the bench. And Ramsdale, Cody Gakpo, Pedro Porro and Craig Dawson. That concludes the penultimate differential show of the season.
One more to go, patrons. Have a great weekend, and we'll be back at you next week. Stay safe. Ciao, ciao.
Thanks, patrons. Play it your way. Our stream will be at 3 o'clock. Team News stream for the advanced 5 o'clock. Cue music, please, Manchild.
Fantasy Football Show.